Praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles, let's turn to the book of Psalms tonight. I try not to hold you over in about an hour and a half tonight. It'll be all right. Praise the Lord. Now, I won't try to hold you that long. It's just good to be in the Lord's house. Amen. You know, Brother Green asked me on Sunday, so I started preparing and was looking at one thing. And last night, I thought I had my message. About 10 o'clock last night, God changed it. Amen. So I was up late trying to get this. So I believe I got what God wants me to give y'all tonight. Psalms 27, verses 1 through 6. If you have it, say praise the Lord. David said here, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in a time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. And now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord." Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this opportunity to stand in this holy place this evening. Father, Lord, I just ask for your anointing this evening, Lord, as I try my best to minister. Father, Lord, your word that you laid upon our heart. Lord, don't let them hear me, Father, Lord, Jesus, but let them hear your word tonight. Let them have ears to hear. Father, Lord, Jesus, Lord, that this message tonight will be an encouragement, Father, Lord, and an uplifting. Because, Lord, I know each of us tonight sitting in this congregation has battles and things that we are facing, Father, Lord. But, Lord, I want, when we leave here tonight, I want each of us to be confident, Father, Lord, Jesus, that no matter how big the battle or how raging of the storm, that, Lord, that people will know that you still in charge. And, Lord, we just thank you and we praise you. And we ask all in Jesus' name. And the people said, amen. You know, tonight, my title of this message, Hope in the Midst of the Battle. You know, as I look here in this Psalms tonight, I begin to read. I see the image of battle being portrayed. Words like enemy, foes. In verse 3, he said war and enemies. And verse 6 speaks of a warfare. And throughout the scripture here, we see, though an host encamp against me, and though war shall rise against me, speak of a battle that David is caught himself in. But the good news here tonight is the fact that when David was going through all this, he still was confident in his hope. How many knows we got hope tonight? Amen. Hope is a powerful thing. If we lose hope, we have nothing left. In the dictionary we look at, it describes hope as this way. It says to have a wish or to get or do something or for something to happen or to be true, especially something that seems possible or likely. Hope for the world, this is the hope of the world's viewpoint. We, the definition here, but the world sees hope as a wish or a desire. Hope for the world is longing or a desire. Hope in the world is a longing for something that may or might not take place. But tonight, the Bible teaches us something different. In Jeremiah 17 and verse 7, he tells us, "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is." So we see here tonight, and Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13 and 13, he said, "And now abideth faith, hope, charity, but the greatest of these is charity." You see, the world says that hope is merely a fond or a wish or desire. But the words here used for hope in the Bible tells us a different story. And that is that hope is a deep, settled confidence that God keeps his promise. You know, tonight we need to have confidence. You know, we all got troubles. You know, I've been going through a lot for the last 10 or 11 months doing what I'm doing, but I thank God I can do it. But you know what? This message, when I read it and when I was reading last night, hit my heart, and I just wanted to share it with you. I wrote a lot of things down, so I just ask you to bear with me tonight. See, I know tonight that we all have these battles, but do we have hope? Even in the midst of the storm, the baddest storm that you're in tonight, can you have confidence that you have hope? There's nothing. You go to the doctor today and he gives you some and he tells you, well, you got this and that and ain't no hope for you. I want to tell you, that doctor don't know what hope is. He's looking at the definition in man's eyes or the world's eyes. But I want to tell you, when man lose hope in the world, he's got hope in Christ. See, David here knew that. See, I went to tonight to look at a few of these verses in my text. Psalms 27:1. Let's go back and look at it. There's three things here. There's one little word here in my text, and I want to share it. And it comes up three times, and that's the word my. He said in 27:1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Confidence here tonight is in the person of the Lord. David tells us that his God is light, his salvation, and his strength. There's three things right there tonight, and we look at. The first one is that God delivers his people out of darkness, that where the light is. Colossians 1 and 13 says, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his Son. He also said in Psalms 37:23 that the steps of a good man ordered by who? The Lord, and he delighteth in his way. And John 16:13 says this, howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that he shall he speak, and will show you things to come. And the last thing is Psalms 119:105 said, the word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I want to tell you, though you may feel like tonight that you got darkness all around you, seem like dark. Has anybody ever been there? Anybody ever felt like they sitting in a place and they just can't hear God or they can't reach God? That darkness is all around them. I want to tell you tonight, that's just the enemy. David was in this place here in this scripture. He was here in a dark time. David was hiding. He was worried because of people. Because his son was hunting him down to kill him and other people. But David still was confident in the fact that he had a relationship with God or with the Lord. I want to tell you something tonight. If you got a relationship with God and you know that, ain't no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Ain't nothing could come against you and defeat you, long as your hand is in the hand of the man who comes to see. Amen. That's who we need to be trusting in tonight. He is our light. He will shine forth in darkness. The second thing I want to look at there, he said in John 5:24. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. You see tonight, salvation, he says, salvation, God delivers his people from damnation. He said there that the Lord is what? My salvation. Is the Lord your salvation tonight? Hey man, are you confident in the fact that you are saved and set apart for the master's use? David was confident in that. So David, in a way, one side was worried, but he wasn't worried because he knew who he was serving. Hey man, you know the devil is tonight. He knows he's got a short time to work. And just like we see people dying left and right. We see young people dying. We see all these things. But the Bible said when you see all these things coming upon the earth, not to get disheartened. Not to get upset, but to look up. For your day of redemption draweth nigh. Yes. Amen. We have salvation tonight. In John 10:27-28 says this. My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. Verse 28. And I give unto them eternal life, and that and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. You know, the devil's walking about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But the devil can't hurt you tonight. The devil can't come nigh to you long as your hand is in the Lord's hand. David knew this. He said, though my enemies encamp around me, I will not be afraid. Amen? He said he will not be afraid. Why? Because he knew who he was and who God is. You see, tonight we'll go back, and I ain't got this text in there, but in Matthew chapter 16, we see the story now when God asked the disciples a question. He said, whom do men say that I am? I want to tell you tonight, long as you know who Jesus is, you can't know because Pastor Green tells you, or brother Steve, or me, you got to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen? And you know what? Jesus can't talk to us. A lot of times when you're on a mountain, it's in the valleys. And let me tell you, God's got a way of stopping you in your tracks, getting your attention. Amen? God's got a way. But nonetheless, he's still there to save us. See, he said in 1 Peter 1, chapter 1, verse 3, he said, blessed is the man. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Begotten us of what? A lively hope. How should the church be tonight? Huh? Lively. We look like a lively bunch. Amen. We need to be a lively. When the world comes in here, they need to feel something different in here than they see out there. When they come in here, they don't need to see us moping around or being sluggish, beat down by the ways of Satan. They need to see us happy, loving each other, praising the Lord. Amen? There's nothing wrong lifting your hands and praising the Lord. Praise the Lord. He said in verse 4, to an inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. You see, tonight the enemy wants to steal that from you. The enemy wanted David here to doubt his God, but David was not doubting his God. The enemy wants each of us tonight to throw our hands up and give up. When this pandemic hit and we couldn't come to God's house, we begin to go online and people begin to look online. But since the pandemic has come to a close, the church is open back up. The people's got lazy. The people's got lazy. They came online. They said, well, I can look online. But when they get online and they begin to watch and they get a phone call, oh, well, I'm not in church. I can sit and answer that. They get distracted. Amen. I'll cover that a little bit later. Verse 5 says, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. See, faith can't be seen. Hebrews 11 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Amen? We got to have hope. When the devil destroys you, can take your hope, he can destroy you. Because when you ain't got faith, you see, when it goes back to that verse, he said, faith is a substance of things hoped for. You got to hope for that faith. I can't see it before me. I can't see my salvation, but I know I'm saved. Amen? I can't see God, but I know he's here. I can't see oxygen, but I know I'm there. I know I'm breathing it. I don't have to have faith in that because it's there. God never leaves you nor forsake you. He's right beside you. He said, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. See, John 6 and 37 says it this way. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and he and him that cometh to me, I will no wise cast out. Amen. Third thing. David said, in the strength God deliver his people from defeat. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57 through 58. Said, but thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. who, let me read that again. But thanks be unto God. You ain't got, you say, well, brother, I ain't got that victory. Where's your thanks at? Where's your praise at? Where's your worship at? When Jesus taught his disciples to pray, he said, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed. Hallowed means to praise, means to worship. Say hallelujah. Amen. When you got something going on in your life, go back to God and begin to praise him. Verse 58 says, Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Always abounding in his work. Not your work, but his work. Amen. People's attitude tonight, me and my Ford, no more. They get out, they want to get into a comfort zone. It's time the church get out of the comfort zone. It's time the church let the world, anybody you pass, is one of two people. They either a believer or a non-believer. If they're a believer, you can shout and worship God too. If they ain't, you can witness to them. Hey man, that didn't cost you nothing. I just threw that in there. Always steadfast, unmovable. People was moved when this pandemic hit. Why? Fear. Fear struck them in the heart. When young men and women goes into armed forces, they go through 12, 13, 14, whatever weeks of training. They drive the fear out of them. Because in the midst of a battle, fear will get you killed. They go right in there, no matter guns are blazing. They go right on in to where they at. The Bible said don't fear men. But fear the one that can destroy the body and cast the soul into hell. Unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as that you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. What we do for him is not in vain. Romans 8, there's 33 through 39, but I ain't going to read all of them. Just look at verse 37. Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that love us. We are conquerors through him. 2 Corinthians 2 and 14 says, Now that's be unto you. No thanks. Now thanks be unto you, God, which always causes us to triumph. What? Sometimes. Not most of the time. He said, always triumph. If you know the Lord and you belong to him, ain't no storm can overtake you. You cannot be defeated if you know him. That's why David prayed. David knew that he could not be defeated. Triumph in Christ and making manifest the Savior of knowledge by us in every place. When you and I go out, the world ought to see that we're different. They ought to hear that we are different. They ought to feel we are different. When we go out, they ought to feel love coming forth from us. Bible said, how you know this is my disciples? That they do what? What did the Bible say? How do you know that they are my disciples is what? They have love one to another. You got to have that love. We got to be encouraged. Isaiah 54 and 17. No weapon that is formed against us shall prosper. Listen to this now. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment shall be condemned. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. What kind of heritage we leave in our children? God's already gave it to us.
All we got to do is live it. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and the righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Not our righteousness. Self-righteousness needs to be cast out. Just because you saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, don't make you better than that beggar sitting out down that street. Or that wino that's standing on the corner. Or that drug addict laying in the sewer. They are the ones that we need to go to and tell them about Jesus. Three characteristics. These are the three characteristics of a person that we are to have hope in the midst of the battle. See, because of who God is, we need not fear any enemy that should rise against us. Satan tonight is no match for our sovereign Lord. I'm not a match for Satan. Brother Green's not a match for Satan. But the Lord that's in us, greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Long as we got the Lord in us, we don't have to fear Satan. Amen? We don't have to. David knew this. We can have confidence in the performance of our Lord. Psalm 27, verse 2 and 3. When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Verse 3. Says, though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war rise against me, in this will I be confident. We got to have confidence in him. The same confidence is ours here today, and because it's unchangeable. Malachi 3 and 6 says this. For I am the Lord, and I change not. If David, in this psalm here, can have confidence, though his enemies is surrounded him, why can't we have that confidence today? My God's not a respecter of persons. God didn't bring me and you this far to let us fall. Amen? We don't have to fear. We can trust. Amen? We can trust in him tonight. And that's who we need to have hope in, is the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 13 and 8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. My God has not changed. You say, brother, why ain't we seeing this? Why ain't we seeing that? It's not because God has changed. The church, the people has changed. I want to tell you, I say this a lot. I long for the services of old. Not to go back, but to move forward. The same service we had 20 years ago, we can have right now here today. It's going to take somebody getting hungry and thirst after righteousness. It's going to take us coming through those doors back there with our hands lifted, praising and glorifying God. It's going to take us shaking off those heavy bands and lifting up those holy hands. It's going to have to stop. We're going to have to stop living defeated day by day. Every time we have a good service and I go home, the devil's waiting on me. Amen? But we got victory over that. Second, our commitment to the Lord produces our hope. Verse 4 of my text in Psalms 27. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and behold the beauty of the Lord in the choir in his temple. David here mentions three goals. The first one is to have a single commitment to serve the Lord faithfully in his office. He is committed to linger where the Lord is. David wants to spend his entire life in the house of the Lord, worshiping and praising and glorifying him. If you are a Christian tonight, you want to be in God's house. You ain't want to sit at home and watch it on video. I'm not talking about people who can't get out. I'm not talking about people that's got to work and got sick people they got with. I'm talking about people just too lazy to get up and come to God's house. Got one amen. Praise the Lord. It's the truth anyway. He wanted to be in the place where the Lord dwells. You say, brother, I just can't get over it. I don't know what it is. When's the last time that you just loved on the Lord a little bit? Or let the Lord love on you? When's the last time we come to an altar of prayer and stayed there till we got through? Hello? People wants God to do things for them, but they don't want to do nothing for God. How many believes the scripture said that Lord said, we got to love one another? How many believes that? How many believes tonight that the Bible, when Jesus said the greatest commandment is that we have love one for another? Do you believe that? Why do you believe it? Because it's written in the Word? Okay, I'm going to share another verse of scripture with you. Turn to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. He said, not forsake assembling ourselves together as the matter of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see that day approaching. What day is he talking about? He's talking about the day that we're living in, the end time. That there's a just a command, just like, thou shalt not commit adultery. Do not forsake assembling yourselves together. You got to be around like-minded people. If you stay around the world long enough, you can smell like them. You're going to be like them. If you used to be a cusser and God saved you, hang around a cusser long enough, you catch yourself saying words you shouldn't be saying. I missed being, I want to be in God's house. It's here where I get my strength to go back out there. It feels good to be around brothers and sisters that loves the Lord and loves you. Hey man, this is our gas station. When you got to have gas in your car, do you pour through the gas station and just ride through and keep on going? And your tank gets filled up. If you did, it wouldn't go very far, would you? You got to get out. You got to pull up there, pull it apart, cut your engine off, open your door, get out, go around, take the gas pump off. You got to do some step before you get gas. We need to learn. Your people need to learn how to crawl before they can walk in God. This is the gas station. This is the place that we pour into. And how do we get God to move? By lifting our hands. God didn't say he come inhabit people sitting on the pews like knots on logs. Jesus said, I come inhabit the praises of my people. God desires us to praise him. Hey man, that's what it's all about. That's why coming to God's house is here. See, I think tonight that there's a few, but we need to have a desire to find that place of closeness and intimacy with the Lord once again and learn to linger in his presence all the days of our life. Three things I want to look at. We need a fresh commitment to praying. What Brother Green been talking about. We need a fresh commitment of praying, setting time apart to spend with God. Not just to get down and say, oh me, oh Lord, I need this. Get down and thank God for where you have been and where you are and where you're going. God inhabits those praises for him. Secondly, we need a fresh commitment to studying and reading God's word. Hello? Boy, y'all quiet now. I believe I'm in a Presbyterian church tonight, not a Pentecostal or a Baptist church. Amen? Boy, y'all quiet. Y'all got some smiles and some nods, but that's it. Not trying to be mean, but we need to learn to praise the Lord. The third thing is to public and private worship. Bible said, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. I'm not a skier to sit back down and lift my hands and praise the Lord. I ain't scared to finish a sentence Brother Green's up here preaching sometime.
Don't do that to be disrespectful. It just comes out. Hey, man. I'm going to tell you. We all need to move forward and move towards Him. John chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. What time is it? 7:48. I got 12 minutes. James chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Verse 8. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh unto you. If you're away from God, it's not God's fault. What do you say? Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh unto you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your heart, ye double-minded. Bible said a double-minded man is unstable in all ways. Bible said you can't serve God and mammon. You either love the one and hate the other. The Lord don't have a forked tongue. You either on the right side or the left side. It's not my job to separate you. It's my job to love you. Jesus told his disciples, let the wheats and the tares grow up together in an end. I will do the separating. We got to love everybody no matter who they are. If they don't smell right, we got to love them. If they don't look right, we got to love them. Greater love hath no man than a man that laid down his life for his friend. Hey, man, these things that we must learn to do tonight. He was committed to leaning, loving the Lord. David wants to behold the beauty of the Lord and seek his face. That's what we do. I want to see the power of God move again. I say like yesterday, but yesterday's gone. That was for them, but I want to tell you, my God's the same yesterday, he's the same today. And he's going to be the same tomorrow. We can have that here in this church. This church can set the stage for other churches. Hey, man, we got to get that hunger. It ain't the preacher's job to get up here and preach to get you to praise the Lord. You ought to already come in his house ready to worship. If God woke you up this morning, if God gave you breath to breathe, eyes to see, ears to hear, nose, and hands to move, you got something to praise God for. You got to stop letting the enemy beat us down. Not only was David committed to being where the Lord is, but he was committed to worshiping the Lord. John 4 and 24 said, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. If we're going to worship him, we must worship him right. I don't worship God because I feel like it. I worship God because he's good to me. I worship him because I love him. And I want to know that I appreciate all that he has done for me. Next, he was committed to leaning on the Lord. David also expressed his desire to call upon the Lord and to communicate with God and make known his requests. But see, David looked beyond his own abilities. Church, I don't have no ability tonight outside of Christ. I can't be up here outside of Christ. I can't get out of bed unless Christ gets me out of bed. You hear what I'm saying? David knew none of his abilities. He could overcome this thing. But he knew because the light and salvation, he could overcome. Because he knew who he was in Christ. See, we got a limited resource tonight at our hands. And all we got to do is use it. Jeremiah 33 and 3 says, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Call unto me and I might answer you. No, he said, call on me and I will answer you. Matthew 11 verse 28 through 30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Verse 29 says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. If you want to rest tonight, rest in the arms of he who saved you. Verse 30 says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. See, we are promised tonight that God will hear and answer our prayer. God may not answer your prayer the way you want it, but God will answer. But I know sometimes I thank God for unanswered prayers. I thought I wanted something one way, but I'm glad it didn't work out that way. God knows best. That's why when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane and he was praying, he prayed, God, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, but thy will be done. We need to learn when we pray, God, I want this, but Lord, nonetheless, if it's not your will, I want your will to be done in my life. Pray and believe what God is asking. Isaiah 65 verse 24 says, Isaiah 65 and 24 says, and it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. The Lord knows what you are in need of before you call. Amen. But he wants us to ask. He wants a conversation between you and him. Why did God create man and put him in the garden? He wanted to have a relationship. He wanted someone that he can come down in the cool of the day and talk to. But he knew God. God knew man was going to sin. He had another plan before the world was even was, where he made the first man. God desires us to communicate with him. God wants to hear us communicate to him. How many likes ungrateful people? Ungrateful people. Anybody like ungrateful people? When you do something for them, they don't say thank you or I appreciate it or anything. Don't you think God gets tired of answering ungrateful people's prayers? Boy, y'all quiet. Could have heard a pin drop and bounce on the carpet. My point is, don't always go to God asking for something, but go to God praising him for what he's already has done. We need to learn to praise him. John 14. 13 and 14. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. 14. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. That ain't a maybe or a might. Seek God while he can be found. God said, my spirit shall not always strive for man. If you ain't got his spirit, you need it. We need him in every aspect of our life this evening. John 16, verse 23 through 24. And in that day, ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask in the Father's name, I will give it. Church, all we got to do tonight is go to him. David here was fighting a battle, but David had confidence in his Lord. We are fighting a battle tonight, church. Satan is winning the battle, but God has already won the war. Look around you tonight. Look around these empty pews. We got a beautiful congregation. Look at where people used to be that's not here. I know we got some other places tonight, and I'm not talking about that. There's some people sitting at home watching a ball game on TV tonight that could be in the house of the Lord that comes Sunday morning and don't come no more the rest of the week. Bible said they serve me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. We got too many people today got lip service and not heart service. God wants to be in the midst of his people. But God is a gentleman. God's going to knock on the door. And if you don't open that door, he's not coming in. God ain't going to make you worship him. And if you wait till you feel like it, I make you a promise standing right here on this stage tonight. If you wait till you feel like it, you won't never worship him.
Because the devil's going to keep you beat down so you won't feel like it. But when the devil comes knocking at your door and beating you down, if you learn to lift your hands and start praising God, you see something change. You see a change in you. We need to learn to lean upon Him and stop worrying and letting the enemy defeat us. I'm not defeated tonight. I read the back of the book. Long as I hold on to Jesus' hand, I'm going to make it tonight. I'm going to make it. I want to share a couple more verses and I'm going to close. So Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 through 7. Be careful for nothing but in everything by prayer and supplication with what? What is thanksgiving? Praise, worship. Be careful for nothing but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. Verse 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Verse 19. Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all of your need according to His riches and glory. Them verses right there tells us that we got victory. Tells us that God loves us. There's not a need tonight in this house that God can't meet. God knows right where you at. And I want to share with somebody watching online, or if you're here tonight, if you have walked away or fell back from God, I want to share some good news for you tonight. You ain't got to walk all the way back. If you come and turn around and make one step back, He comes and embrace you and brings you back into the fold. You just got to turn around. You want to know how far you are from God tonight? It's simply a 180 and one step. That's all it is. You said, brother, you don't know what I've done. No, it's none of my business what you've done. Don't take this the wrong way. I do care, but I don't care what you've done. I don't care where you've been. That's not none of my business. Only thing I care about tonight is God loves you and He wants you. He wants you saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, set apart for the Master's use. And nothing can overtake you tonight. Long as we are in Christ Jesus, we got to hold on to Him. Our commitment to Him tonight provides us hope in the day of battle. If I don't do nothing for God, God's not going to do nothing for me. Hello? God don't owe me nothing, but I owe Him everything. God didn't make hell for men. He made hell for Satan and the false angels and the false prophets. Men choose to go to hell. God don't send nobody to hell. If you go to hell tonight and you're sitting here on this pew and you listen to this message by around the thing, and you go to hell, you're going to hear this message again tonight, that you had an invitation to accept Christ as your Savior and Lord. I can't do it for nobody. I can only make heaven for me. But I'm not jealous. I want to share. That's one thing I always said. I've never had a jealous bone in my body. Me and my wife's been married soon, be 35 years. And I've never been jealous. And she's never been jealous of me. I told her she wanted somebody else. There's the door. You said, wait a minute. No, I'm not being mean. If you love somebody, you stay with them. I'm not fighting for nobody's love. And I'm not going to get upset. You hear what I'm saying? Now, if somebody, man, come and try to get hold of my wife, I'm going to stop it. Don't take me that wrong. But I'm not living a life in jealousy. Because my Bible describes jealousy in one way. And that's cruel as the grave. God's a jealous God, but not that kind of jealous. He's not going to share us with no one else. At least Satan. But He shares us with everybody else. Because you know why? We are His eyes, His ears, His hands, and His feet. It's up to us to tell somebody that God loves them. And I just come back tonight to tell you that God loves you. One more scripture. Psalms 125, verse 2. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people from henceforth, even forever. Church, you are not by yourself. You might feel sometime you're all alone. That's just a trick of the enemy. When you cannot feel nothing, God is holding you. God's right there. Let us stand tonight. With every eye, head bowed and every eye closed. I don't know, and I believe that everyone here tonight is saved. But I ask you tonight, if you are here and you have been in a battle, and you have been in a war, and you feel like you are overwhelmed, just slip your hand up and say, remember me and pray for me. This ain't the war you're saved or not. Just if you're in the midst of a battle, a storm, you need somebody to help you, pray, just lift your hand up to me, let me know you, and I'll pray for you. God bless that hand. God bless that hand. You know, I'm a firm believer in one thing. I'm a firm believer if I pray for Brother Green and Brother Green prays for me, that in the end we both can overcome. I'm a firm believer tonight if each one of us in this church would pray one for another, this church will overcome. So my challenge to you tonight, let's get our minds back on God. Let's make a new commitment to praying, a new commitment to studying and reading God's word, and a commitment of worship. These three things we need a fresh commitment to. Hey man, does anybody want prayer tonight? If nobody wants prayer tonight,
amen. We went through the Bible tonight, didn't we? A lot of scripture to learn and to know. And I appreciate Brother James and his heart sharing with us this evening. Amen. So, Father, we thank you. We honor and praise you, God. We give you glory and honor for this time that you've given us tonight to hear the word of God. For faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. And, Father, we just pray, God, that the word of God would be seated in our heart tonight, God. And Lord, that it would grow and it would flourish, Father. Help us to hold on to your unchanging hand. Father, be with the church, be with the revival services, be with everything that we endeavor to do for your glory. And we ask you this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen and amen. God bless you. Thank you again for being here tonight. And get with Brother James and let him know you appreciate him speaking to us tonight. And we'll see you Sunday morning bright and early.